Now, it's not often that I turn to the Old Testament for a subject, but I want us tonight just to take a look at the middle, towards the middle of our Bible, the second book of Kings, please. There are lovely illustrations that are set before us in the Old Testament regarding God's way of salvation. I'm thankful that the Bible tells us that the gospel was first preached to Abraham. That tells us right at the very beginning that God, he was ever seeking to reach and win sinners to our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he preached the gospel to Abraham, the Bible would tell us that the God of glory appeared to Abraham. I want to tell you, dear friend, it's a blessed thing when you get a glimpse of the glory of God. You know, the Word of God tells us that the gospel that we preach, it is the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. And we're preaching a gospel that unveils divine glory. That glory seen in the person of the Lord Jesus and in the life that he lived here, but seen in the fact that he went to Calvary, that you and I, we might be eternally saved. There's a wonderful blessing for us if only we'll believe the gospel and we'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, I say there are lovely illustrations of this in the Old Testament. So obviously, the New Testament is full of the way in which God would bring salvation to us. But I want us just to take a look at one of these incidents that we find in the book of Kings, chapter 5. And it's the way in which God moved in the history of a man that he might be brought to cleansing. You know, that's what the gospel's all about, dear friend. And we shall see tonight how that we are defiled because of sin. But thank God, there is a cleansing. And that cleansing is found in the mighty work of our Lord Jesus at the place called Calvary, when we accept the way of God's salvation and we come on God's terms. We're going to read from verse 1 of 2 Kings and chapter 5. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant unto thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. From verse 15 onwards, we see how that this event literally transformed his life, and he did become a worshipper. And may God bless his word, and each one that will hear it once again this evening. I want us tonight, dear friend, just to illustrate very beautifully, I trust from these lovely verses that we have read together, the way of God's salvation. I'm very, very thankful that God has taught us the way of salvation. I want to tell you, we would never conceive it of ourselves, and we would never be able to attain to salvation by any method of our own. We're going to learn that a little as we look through these verses in connection with this man Naaman, how he came to salvation. There are four things about this man. I want you to notice, first of all, that he had a great disease. The Bible says of this man, in verse 1, that he was great with his master. And this great man, he had a great disease. That disease was the disease of leprosy. Now, as far as those days were concerned, and I believe even today, it's an impossibility to be able to deal with leprosy. Leprosy that begins in a very small way, but then it continues to develop within the body until the Bible would tell us how that men can be full of leprosy. In the Bible, leprosy is ever a picture of sin within the human heart and within the human life. And there's no remedy for sin as far as man is concerned. And sin, my dear friend, is destroying each and every member of society, whoever they might be and whatever they might be. No man within the compass of the world today knows what it is not to have sin within his body. It's just like this man here. They each have a great disease. They have this awesome disease of sin. And it would seem that there is no hope for anyone that has sin. The Bible would only tell us of one in the Old Testament that was ever cured of leprosy, or cleansed of leprosy, because I'm glad that the Word of God doesn't look at it so much as a cure, but as a cleansing. For you see, sin is a defiling thing. Sin is a filthy thing. And the Bible tells us that nothing that defileth will ever be able to enter into heaven. And sin has got to be dealt with this side, my dear friend, of eternity, if we're going to be in heaven. And so, the Word of God would tell us very, very clearly that sin or leprosy is cleansed. Just as the precious blood of Christ, the book of John tells me, it cleanseth us from all sin. And a blessed thing to have sin cleansed. And a blessed thing to have forgiveness of sins. And to know that our lives have been right. Made right as far as God is concerned. But again, because of the disease that he had, this man was in awesome danger. For as we've already said, the only end as far as leprosy was concerned was the fact that death would touch the body and it would end up in death as far as the poor victim was concerned. Isn't that like sin? For the Bible tells me again, the wages of sin is death. Every stone in a cemetery, every plaque in a cemetery. My dear friend, it's a testimony to the fact that the Bible tells us we've all sinned. And the Bible tells us again that the wages of sin is death. And the Bible tells us it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Let me tell you, it wouldn't be so bad if death was the end. But it's very, very clear that death is not the end, my dear friend. When death comes in, men go out to meet with God, and they've got to give account of their sin. There's a need that sin is dealt with here, and that sin is cleansed, so that when we do go out of this world, thank God, we can go to meet God, but we go to meet God in the value of all that the Lord Jesus has done. We can go to meet God in the value of Calvary's cross. And my dear friend, we can know salvation because of what the Lord Jesus has accomplished there at Calvary. We're going to see that this man, with this great disease and left in great danger, just as each and every one of us are in danger of death. I never forget how the Bible brings before me one man that said that soon he would go the way of all flesh. My dear friend, death, by the way, is no respecter of persons. And death is not dependent upon our age. I had a little brother. I was with him the day that he died. Just a little six-year-old. Went down to play by the river, by a canal side. And putting sticks in, he tumbled in and he went to his death. Just a little six-year-old. And you know, death is never far from any one of us. One man in the Bible says, there's but a step twixt me and death. And I never forget speaking to a young man one afternoon many, many years ago and trying to bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. His sister was saved. His sister went to a gospel hall. You might have a relative saved. You might have somebody that's in fellowship in a gospel hall. But you're not saved. And he was just like that. And I remember speaking with him this Friday afternoon, a whole afternoon. I'd employed him. And we were just stopped and talking about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I never forget about 4:30. That young fellow turned around and said to me, why should I trust Christ? I said, Ken, don't you know that God holds your breath in his hand and can take it away just like that? And I snapped my fingers. You know, my dear friend, God does hold your breath in his hand. I didn't know at that time I was actually quoting a verse from the book of Job. I've learned it since. But it tells us that our life is in the very hand of God, our breath is in the hand of God, and God can take it away just like that. He was only 18. He was working with me as he was preparing to go up to university. He never made the university. The next day, he, with other companions, they had built a boat, and they went out to the Irish Sea to launch that boat. It seems that they forgot to put ballast in the bottom of that boat. And as they went out from a place called Fleetwood, as they sought to turn that boat to bring it back to shore again, in the swell of the tide it turned turtle, and three young men were hurtled into eternity. My dear friend, what a step twixt me and death. And I look at this man here, and I find the decision, the danger that he was in. And each of you tonight, if you're not saved, you're in grave danger. You need God's salvation. And I would that God tonight would speak to your soul and draw you to the Lord Jesus. We're going to see tonight how he had a decision to make. And let me tell you, if you're going to get the cleansing power of the precious blood of Christ, you're going to have to make a decision too. Without that decision being made, you'll never be saved. And let me tell you now, the decision will be no easier tomorrow. The devil comes into meetings like this, you know. And he sits right by the side of those that are lost. He used to do it to me when I was in a gospel hall. And I knew as I listened to the preacher, I ought to trust Christ. The little voice would whisper, not this week, Norman. You get saved next week. Eventually it got even more urgent than that because as the weeks went by and I knew that I was a sinner going down to hell and going to be left behind at the coming of the Lord Jesus. And I knew I ought to be saved in a gospel meeting. The same voice would say, not tonight, Norman. Go and see Mr. Todd tomorrow. He was one of these brethren, you see. And the devil will always put it off till tomorrow. The devil's time is tomorrow. Can I tell you, friend, God's time is today. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Never put off till tomorrow. The great business of getting right with God. And the great business of being saved. Friend, today, if you'll hear his voice. And oh, that somebody might hear the voice of God calling today. And we'll turn to the Lord Jesus, and we'll make him the Lord and Saviour. I want you to notice a few things about this man. I want you to see how in verse 1 he's the captain of the host. And we could look at a number of things regarding this man as the captain of the host. He was the captain of the host of Syria. We notice his position. He was what we would term today, I suppose, I don't know what you have over here in Australia. At home, it's the field marshal.
He's the man that leads the army. And here this man, he had this great position and he had great power. For the Bible tells us that he was great with his master. And he was a man that was respected and honored in the court of the king. But my dear friend, all this counts for nothing when leprosy strikes. And let me tell you, all this counts for nothing as far as the sinner's concerned. I often look at the newspapers and I see these so-called great dignities. But I tell you, I just wonder where they're going to be for eternity. The Queen on the throne? Oh, I believe she's saved. Her father certainly was. And her grandmother was. And her great-grandmother was. Blessed thing, my dear friend, when God moves amongst royalty and saves them. Here was a man of honour as far as the nation is concerned. But it doesn't matter who we are, my dear friend. Sin strikes us and sin needs to be dealt with. And a blessed thing, if we were to realize what we have. This man with a great potential, because the Bible says, by him. Now let me tell you, as far as the Jews were concerned, and remember the Old Testament was written to the Jews and for the Jews, as far as the Jews were concerned, this man, he was in an alien country. No one would have gone to preach to this man. No one would have sought to reach this man. There were no evangelists as far as the Jews were concerned. There were no gospel tents that were put up. There were no gospel meetings, just left to perish. I'm very thankful it's not like that today. And I'm very thankful, dear friend, that my God is giving you ample opportunity that you might come to know the gospel and you might get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Israel. God was looking down on that man. And God gave that man the power and ability to be able to accomplish things. But in spite of it all, the Bible tells us here, he had this mighty problem, but he was a leper. You know, we might have everything as far as this world is concerned. Can I change that last clause? But we're all sinners. And my dear friend, that sin will condemn us to eternal torment unless we find the cleansing power that the Word of God would bring before us. I'm very thankful that if in that opening verse we have the captain of the host, I'm very thankful that in verses 2 and 3 there was a little captive maid. And the Bible tells us that when these Syrians had gone out on the forest, they'd actually taken this little maid, separated her from her parents, taken her from her land, taken her from a god that she loved, and brought her into a pagan idolatrous system. And the Bible tells us here that she became a little maid and she waited on Naaman's wife. I love this little maid. Did God put her there for a purpose? You know, God's like that, dear friend. He brings events across your life because he wants you saved and he wants you brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for the events that came across this little girl. When she suddenly spoke up, she was a faithful little soul. I don't know how I'd have felt, you know. I'm afraid, and I say this carefully, I used to be very, very vindictive. Do you know what that means? I was one of these, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You tread on my toes, sir, I'll jump on yours. Before I got saved, I had quite a vicious character. And you know, if I'd have been in that household and I suddenly found that this man that had taken me away captive and had taken me from my mother and father and taken me from my land and taken me from the Lord I loved, I'd have been smirking behind his back. Serves him right. I hope it works fast through his body and I hope it's not long before he's dead. Ah, but not this little girl. I noticed that this little girl, she had a memory. And she had mercy. And she had a message. The memory, it took her back to her homeland. And she just turns to Naaman's wife and she says, "Would God that my Lord..." Oh, you see, this faithful girl. She wasn't only faithful, she was respectful. "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria." Will you notice? If she had a memory of the homeland, and if she had a memory of this great prophet now, Elisha, and remember the mighty works he could do, she also had a message. And the message simply was, "Would that Naaman would be there." For she knew that he would be able to recover him of his leprosy. And the message was very simple, very clear, very plain, telling him to go to the prophet. Well, you know, when you come to verses 4, down to verse 7, it is not now the captain of the host, it is not now a captive maid, but it's a concerned king. Because the message got all wrong. You see, immediately the king of Syria, I suppose, that went in and told Syria, Naaman, what had happened, he immediately went to his friend the king. "Oh," said the king, "I'll give you letters. And I'll send you to the king of Israel." Have the little girl said anything about the king of Israel? Not a word. It's amazing how people go to the wrong person, isn't it? It's amazing how people don't listen aright. Can I suggest to you that's why they're not saved? Because they don't listen aright. And when he went to the king sent this message that sent him to the king of Israel. Little wonder we find that this king ends up in a rage. "Who does this man think I am? Does he think I'm God? To kill and to make alive?" But he'd never listened to the message aright. You know, I'll never forget one of my own daughters telling me of the night when she got saved. She told me that when she came to meetings, and let me tell you, she went to many, many meetings. Her daddy being a preacher and having gospel tents and gospel meetings and so on in the UK, and the family with her, and they came in every night to listen to the word of God. So she said to me, she said, "Daddy, I used to just switch off." Eh? So that's easily done in a meeting, isn't it? Just switch off. And there could be somebody here and you're being brought to these meetings and you could just switch off. And you don't listen. And you don't take it in. You could be just like Naaman. Because he didn't listen. He didn't take it in. He didn't get the message right. Would God he was with the prophet. Where does he go to? He goes to the wrong person. And let me tell you, there's no hope with the wrong person. But my daughter turned to me that night, she said, "You know, Daddy, as the preacher was preaching, he suddenly said something that made me realize." And she said, "I just switched on." And that night in her own bed, she just trusted the Lord Jesus. I tell folks to get on their knees, you know, and trust the Lord Jesus. Well, that's how I did it, but she didn't. Just in her own bed, she trusted the Lord Jesus. Have you switched on? Do you know you ought to be saved? I hope you're not seeking in the wrong way, in the wrong places, to find salvation. The devil will tell you to go anywhere and everywhere, but to Christ, you know. Tell you to do everything you can, but never tell you to put your faith and trust in Christ. It's only the Lord Jesus that can save you. And you need the Lord Jesus. And here we find, he went to the wrong man. I'm very thankful the message got to Elisha. And I'm very thankful that this man of God, he turned round and said to the king of Israel, he said, "Send him to me." And so it was, as we find in verse 9, it says that Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. But I want to tell you how he came. If he came with his horses, we have a little expression at home about a person being on the high horse. I don't really have that expression here, do you? You know, they just think they're everything. And he came, and he thought he was going to dictate how the blessing was going to come, how the cleansing was going to be effected. I had a sister like that, you know. And she thought she could determine the day, and she could determine the hour, and she could determine the way she was going to be saved. Thank God she'd gone out to California, and she'd gone to friends there, that were friends of ours, that is. She'd gone to these folks that were Christians, and she was telling these people the way that she thought she should be saved. And these people told her, very, very simply, Davina, you can't plan it all. It's not your way. If you're going to be saved, you're going to come God's way. Well, I'm very thankful that God kept working with her. She was in her 50s. But thank God there came a day when she came to the end of herself and she realized that the way she was just going to have to go to hell. These are her own words. And it was when she realized she was a lost, guilty, hell-bound sinner. It's then when the message of God came in all its fullness. And thank God, in the early hours of the morning, she got saved. She'd gone driving around in a car, trying to work it all out. This man came on his high horse, and he came to the home of Elisha. And the Bible tells us that Elisha just sent out a messenger. Oh, here was a man of dignity now. Here was a friend of the king, and all he's got is a wee servant that's come out from Elisha, and the servant has brought him a message. Oh, what a message. It was a saving message, you know. It was a message that came from the throne of God. It was the way that God was going to cleanse this man. And the message was very simple. All he had to do was just to obey God, to come in God's way, to go on God's terms, and to do what God said. And he would have got the blessing. And what was the message? Well, it's very easy, isn't it? Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. You couldn't misstate the message, could you? Just as the Bible comes to you, listen again, will you please? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you know a better way? Can you conceive another way? He that believeth on the Son shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at this lovely text again. Probably everyone in the hall knows it. But see again the end of it. Whosoever believeth in him. Could it be more simple, dear friend? God wants you to be saved. The message to Naaman was clear and plain. He couldn't be mistaken. The message to you is very clear and plain. Your soul is very precious. Eternity is very long. My dear friend, you need to be snatched as a brand from the burning. You need to find a salvation that will save you from the eternal torments of hell. And here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, or whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm very thankful that though it was a servant that brought that message was coming direct from God. It was the way of blessing for this man. But will you notice, if we've had the captain of the host, if we've had the captive maid, and the concerned king, the call of the prophet, now we have a confused soldier. For we find here at least 3 things about this man in verses 11 and 12. For it tells us, and Naaman was wroth. A little earlier it's the king that was angry. Who do they think I am? But here's a man now and he's angry. Why should the message bring anger? Tell me. I do know it brings conviction. And I know sometimes we don't like that conviction. But here's a message that brought anger within the heart of this man. And would you notice not only the anger, but the assumption, as he thought he knew the way of salvation. And he said, behold, I thought. Oh, men always think that they know better than God. The Bible tells me, God says, your ways are not my ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts. God knows the way of salvation, friend. Men think they know the way of salvation, and they'll not come God's way, and they perish as a result of it. And here's a man that thought he knew better than God. And he turns round and says, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and he'll call on the name of his God, and he'll strike his hand over the place, and, oh, he'd worked it all out, what should be done. And you, Elisha would have been guilty of disobeying the word of God had he come and touched that leper. For it was something he shouldn't have done. He didn't even come out to him. He just sent the message to him. And again, this man assumed that all he was being told to do was take a little wash in the River Jordan. Friend, he wasn't. He's being tested in relation to faith. Would he believe God? Would he take God at his word? For that's where salvation comes in. And it wasn't just a question of going down there and having a wee wash in a river. My dear friend, a wee wash in a river would never take away leprosy. There must have been many that had washed in Jordan that never knew what it was to get the leprosy cleansed. But God was now causing this man to act in faith if he is going to be saved, and if he's going to be blessed, and if he's going to be cleansed. And he turns round and speaks of the rivers of Damascus. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters? Ah, they might be. But there was no healing powers in them, for God was not there. It's only where God is and where God has put his word, my dear friend, that's only where the blessing will come. And the Bible turns round and says, he turned and went away in a rage. He's not prepared to accept God's terms. I wonder if there's one in the room tonight. And you're just like Naaman. And you're not prepared to come in God's way. You're not prepared to bow to the Lord Jesus. You're not prepared to believe in the Lord Jesus. You're not prepared to make him your Savior. Can I tell you, friend, if you turn away, just like this man did, you'll not be saved. You can have every thought you want. You can have every opinion you want. But God himself has taught us the way of salvation. And you need to come God's way. Thank God for that courageous servant in verse 13. And again, thank God for the respectful man when he says, my father. And the reasoning when he said, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, oh, we'd love to do that, wouldn't we? I wanted an angel to come, you know, before I get saved. I can't say it here in the southern hemisphere, because I really wanted a cross in the sky. Well, you've got one, they tell me. We haven't got one in the northern hemisphere. But oh, if God had only caused a cross to come, then I believe I wanted some sign, some miracle, something. I wasn't just prepared to take God at his word. And can I tell you, all the time I was reasoning as to what and how I should be saved, let me tell you, I was a lost sinner on that broad road going down to hell. I'm very, very thankful, dear friend, that the day dawned when I came to realize again that I must come God's way. Eventually, the message sank in. I would tonight it would sink into somebody's heart here. And when that message sank in, I don't know what his thoughts were. I don't know how great his faith was. But he's doing what God told him to do. He's going to the place where God told him to go. And he's going to dip seven times. Seven times. I wonder, you know, as this man dipped in those waters, I think had it been me, every time I went down and when I came up again, I'd take a wee look. And when he'd been down there 5 or 6 times, I'm sure of this,
it was an awful lot wetter. But he wasn't one bit wet better. For God didn't say 5 times, 6 times. God said 7 times. That's the number of perfection, you know. And when he went down the 7th time, thank God, as he came up out of the water, his flesh was like that of a little child, born again, a new life, because he'd come in God's way. He'd accepted God's terms. And he might have gone very feebly, he might have gone with great doubts. But thank God when he came God's way and he acted in faith and did what God told him to do, that's when the blessing came. Is there one in the room tonight? Are you prepared to act in faith? Will you turn to the Lord Jesus? Will you make him your Lord and your Saviour? Romans 10 and 9, a favourite verse of mine, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Will you be saved tonight? Will you trust the Lord Jesus? Will you make him your Saviour?